Hello, everybody. This is Dan Hegerich again. Do the Cure podcast for another episode here. It's Sunday night. No, it's not Sunday night. It's Sunday afternoon as I'm recording this. You might get it Sunday night, but it is March 21st, 2021. It's actually a beautiful spring day. I hope you're enjoying your spring day wherever you are. We got a great episode today. I'm going to be just scratching the surface of this topic here in episode 14. Might call it the damage of your inner dialogue. And I have a couple of articles that I'm going to put into the description so you could follow those more closely at your leisure. But I want to give you an overview of this and to understand the inner dialogue a little bit and to have some strategies how you can actually reframe your inner dialogue and shift your inner dialogue from that something that might be damaging to your overall well-being and to actually use your inner dialogue to create a miracle in your life, to support you in transforming your life or who you want to become in the world. At least I became aware of my inner dialogue a while back, and I will share a little bit about that along the way. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen in. I know your time is valuable, since that's something that we consider a very important asset in our life, is how we're spending our time, how we're using our time. So I thank you for sharing your time with me today, and maybe it will hopefully add some value to your life and, yeah, with the great hopes of transforming your life even. I'm noticing here on the podcast site that I have sound effects that I can play with. I'm actually kind of giddy because they're really funny. Let me hit, you want to hear one? Let's try something. There's a clown horn. I don't know. I'm just playing with it so I can get used to some of this stuff. And be playful as I enter into what might be seemingly serious topics for people's well-being. So let's be playfully serious about our lives, okay? So the voices in our head, or the voices in your head, you do know you have an inner dialogue, don't you? Have you sat in stillness and silence long enough to see those thoughts? Those negative thoughts that might be coming up and tripping you up. I mean, it's obvious that we have these inner thoughts, right? And you do know that everyone has this problem or this conditioning, that we all have an inner dialogue. One might say if it's a negative inner dialogue, it's the wounded child and or the egoic parent or the egoic adult in you. And that's where a lot of your negative inner dialogue comes from. In my work with conscious breathing and the work with Leonard Orr, I've mentioned him before in a previous podcast, his work on the birth trauma, that the birth trauma can set into motion a personal law or a personal lie about life. So if your birthing process that you came into, how you came into the world, created a certain amount of stimuli and feelings for the child or the infant or the fetus, whatever you want to call it, and then that soul, that embodiment of a human being at its vulnerable stage created a belief, a thought process about what life is about. Just something to think about. How did you come into the world? Have you talked to your mother or father or both about what was their circumstances around the pregnancy and the birthing process? It's an exercise I give to a lot of my clients, is to talk to their parents about how the birth was. How did they come into the world? How were they received? How were they conceived? Because these can set into motion some inner dialogue that needs to be moved through and reframed so that it could be a little bit more free, at least intellectually freed from the birth experience. Because Leonard Orr's work says that the birth trauma is a major trauma in our lives. And in my previous episode, episode 13, I talked about Grandmaster Fu, who shares that the birth trauma is a impression on the organism that creates a trauma. So two totally different people, they don't know each other at all, or haven't known each other, saying the birth trauma is a major thing we have to take a look at. That's why I give that exercise to people, which is talk to your mom and dad and sit down with them individually is even more powerful, and ask them, Mom, what was going on? How was I conceived? What were the circumstances? You know, what were you going through? How did you take it? What was your experience of pregnancy? What was the experience that you had when I was coming out of the womb? What was your first reaction when you put me on your chest? What was the first thing that occurred to me, or happened to me? This will give you a lot of understanding about yourself. So I suggest you do that. So the inner dialogue, it's a really powerful way to start to recreate yourself, is to start to become aware. First, interesting enough, become aware of how other people speak about themselves and their circumstances. Just start to listen to what they're saying and how that feels inside of you. Right? And also pick up on, wow, that was a negative statement. Oh, wait, that was a positive statement. That made me feel contracted. Whoa, that made me feel expansive. That one shut my creativity off. That one enhanced my creativity. My imagination started to go crazy in some ways, that you wanted to do something for the world a little bit better. So pay attention to other people's dialogue. I think this is what the powerful statement that we've all heard before is, watch what you say. It first comes into your inner dialogue. Watch what your inner dialogue is, because then what you say to others or put out into the world is a direct reflection of what you're thinking inside that inner voice. But how did we get this inner dialogue? Where did it come from? Of course, I'm sure there's plenty of perspectives or theories about it, but as a child, as an infant, we don't have a conscious mind. We just are wide open to receiving all messages from our external and developing stuff or certain ideas about ourselves from what we're feeling internally, from external stimulation or stimuli. So what a person says, we might not understand what they're saying, but we'll feel the vibration behind it. And then that vibration creates something like, oh, I better be protective. I'm scared. Or it might be, whoa, I feel so good and loved and welcomed into this crazy thing we call human experience. Well, it could be a beautiful thing too. Depends on where we're coming from. So we're wide open until, you know, consciousness starts to become active when we're about 2 or 3 years old. And we start to say, where did I come from? Who am I? Why? 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 How come? So the child is starting, the consciousness is starting to wake up. And children are amazingly wide open, and they just keep sharing openly whatever they want. And then, of course, that begins to become suppressed from the people that we're surrounded with. Don't say this. You can't say that. I have to. you have to do this, you have to do that, you should do this, you should do that, don't do this, right? And all of a sudden, our natural inclination to be wide open and just share freely becomes stifled, suppressed, and we become programmed to hide from that or hide behind it. So just a few things to consider so we don't belabor this, but the inner voice becomes established based on our environment that we grew up in and that we are born from. That's why that birth trauma or birthing exercise I shared with you to talk to your parents about how you were conceived and how you were born and what their feelings and circumstances they were going through during those times. I think that's important. And so we know that this inner dialogue is just a conversation with our ego. Our ego is having inside of itself. It's the subtextual voice that applies logic, reasoning, and beliefs to situations, peoples, and events. But it also serves for a filter for those experiences and colors the way in which we see the world. Remember, I don't know who is accredited with this quote. I could probably look it up. But right now, I'm in the midst of this, so let's just go for it. We see the world as we are, not as it is. And every individual interprets the world related to how they are, how they feel about themselves. And that will, you know, either cloud their view of the world or that will actually lift the veil of how they see the world. So the worse a person is, the more he is going to see the worse in you. This is why in Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements book, he says, don't take anything personally. Because the worse a person is, the more he is going to see the worse in you. On the other side of the coin, the better you feel about yourself, you're going to easily see the beauty in life, the beauty in other people, the beauty in circumstances. You're going to see opportunities. You're going to be naturally grateful, just like that little innocent child that you were when you were born. Watch what you say internally. It's very important to start the process, right? So essentially, there's internal factors that stimulate this. There's external factors. Internal factors is how you interpret the stimulation and the environment that were born out of the environment that you came into this world or you grew up in. And of course, those external factors are the family, the friends. What about TV? I mean, come on. Television is not really programming ourselves to see the world as it is. We're seeing it as they portray it, right? Social media, another form of TV. And how do these negative inner voices affect you? Well, number one, think of public speaking. People say they'd rather die than publicly speak, especially impromptu. Why? Because they're going to hear all the negative inner dialogue and experience all the judgments that they're having in their own head about themselves. The feeling of embarrassment, the feeling of doing it wrong. Those are the two number one, the two top ego fears. I'm doing it wrong and I'm going to be embarrassed. So let's let that go and stop being creative in the world. And it results in breathing problems, heart palpitations. You get sweaty probably really quick. You're nervous. It can lead to limiting beliefs about yourself and the world. Fears. Perfectionism, And of course, victim mentality, that essentially victim mentality, we say there's something wrong with me. So everything that you might do always seems that there's something wrong with you. So you can't really move forward in your life and go after what you want because of this inner dialogue. For me, let me share a story about myself. So when I had a diagnosis of cancer when I was 29, going on 29, of course I was young. What was the inner dialogue? I'm a cancer patient. That was my new role in life. I am a cancer patient. So one of the most, I guess, powerful things that came to me is that anything I say after the two words, I am, anything I write or say about myself after those two words, I am, I remain or I become. Therefore, when I said, I am a cancer patient, I will remain a cancer patient, or I will become a cancer patient. In this case, I am a cancer patient. I am going to remain a cancer patient if I continue to create an identity around that. That's how powerful our inner dialogue is. Then I go through the medical model for 6 years and decided, whoa, I don't want to be a cancer patient anymore. I want to change that role. I'm going to be a healthy human being. I'm going to create a miracle. I am going to create a miracle. You either remain or become. I left medicine in 2000, the year 2000, after 6 years of them, the medical model, trying to do what they can to manage my disease until I died, essentially, from the treatment. And I said, that's it, I'm done. And I left them, and I applied my own principal philosophies for life and for health and for love. And in 5 months, I got rid of the tumors on my own. And then I entered into, oh, here's the new role that I was playing. I am a cancer survivor. That's a new role. Yeah, okay, I created this miracle, blah, blah, blah. But then I took on this new role. I am a cancer survivor. How many people here subscribe that, oh, I am a survivor? Well, if you stay in that inner dialogue and that mindset, then you can't thrive. You won't know what it feels like to thrive. And you'll always set yourself up for circumstances that remind you that you can survive this. So once I recognized I was playing the role of a cancer patient, now I was like, whoa, I'm playing the role of a cancer survivor. Still a victim mentality. And I can connect to the world through that mentality. I am a cancer survivor. And pull on people's heartstrings for that. And that's why I've created this podcast, is to start to move out of that role and start to be a productive member of society, to move it along in health, wealth, and loving relationships. Rene Descartes was a modern day, you know, mathematician, natural philosopher. And he was quoted as saying, I think, therefore I am. That's how important it is for us to pay attention to our inner dialogue. I think, therefore I am. I am, boom, put anything after that. I am an accountant. Great, you remain or stay that way. You remain that way or you become that. But you're much more than an accountant, aren't you? Are you a husband or a wife? Are you a partner in some relationship? Are you a husband, a father or a mother? Are you a parent to some children? So you're much more than, I am an accountant. Hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I am an accountant. Whoa, all right, that's limiting. Why don't you practice with saying, wow, I'm a really compassionate accountant that provides for my family so we can enjoy each other's company and share love and have a nice little house, home over our head, et cetera. You can expand on it. And we want to actually avoid some of those external factors from our family, from the TV, from media, and various other stimulus that actually aggravates or feeds this negative internal dialogue, right? So it's important to think, I am. What are you putting after those two words? I am. Another thing that came to me on my journey was, oh, I am an alcoholic. Interesting, right? I mean, I know I have some pretty ingrained paternal alcoholism or challenges with alcohol or use alcohol in a certain way to navigate life. So once I recognize that inner language, wait a minute, I am a compassionate alcoholic. wait, that doesn't work either. So I said, alcohol no longer serves who I am and who I am becoming. Whoa, I just took my power back. Alcohol no longer serves who I am and who I am becoming. Remember the classic, I am powerless over alcohol? I didn't like that phrase. Alcohol has no power over who I am as a creative, compassionate human being. Just saying, we can flip it around and take our power back from the inner dialogue that's either created from within ourselves or has been given to us from external sources. Alcohol has no power over who I am as a creative, compassionate human being. Or I am powerless over alcohol. It's your choice. You get to use your internal dialogue for your own benefit. What are some other ways we show up with our inner dialogue? If we break it down into, I got four areas of life that you can break it down. Health. So what do you say about your health? I am fat. Well, whatever you say after I am, you remain or become. I am ugly. I am out of shape. I hate my body. I am always sick and I get sick. I have no control over what I feed my body. The list goes on. Relative to your self-image that you project out into the world is really because of what's going on in the inner dialogue. Or a component of it certainly is, a major component is this inner dialogue. How would you flip those statements around? How would you flip that inner dialogue around? What about the wealth area of life? It's not about how much money you have. Wealth is your creativity that you provide to the world in a product or service. And in exchange, you receive resources or money as a form of that resource or current to keep your creativity going. But what about wealth? What are your inner dialogue around it? I'm not worthy. I don't know my real value. I'm a pathetic loser. I'm a failure. I'm not creative. I have no skills or expertise. I am worthless. I have let my family down. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I mean, what are all this inner dialogue that's in us, right? We can work through that and start to grow by first bringing awareness. What you hear others people are saying about themselves and their circumstances, and then bring awareness to your way of speaking about yourself and your circumstances. That's the first two things to do is just be aware of how people are expressing, you know, who they are about themselves and their circumstances and then bring that into your own life. So wealth, you know, what's your self-worth? What about the love area in relationships? I am not lovable as I am. Therefore, I need to prove my love and defend my self-hatred. This is important. When you have that language going on inside your head, I am not lovable, consciously or not. Therefore, I need to prove my love and defend my self-hatred. I need to please everyone at all times. I have done so many wrong things that I harmed others. Well, I've done so many things that have harmed others. And certainly now I'm ashamed of myself for doing that. Therefore, I deserve to be punished. There's a lot of other things that could be put into that love and relationship category. Since these three categories, health, wealth, and love, that's where most people have expressed a lot of their pain and sorrows and their suffering, right? And how it affects our experience of life. If you're not healthy, if you're really ill, like I was with a terminal cancer at 29, then that really has a major effect on how you navigate life. Would you agree? And if you're not being creative in the world, offering products or services that you can actually receive back so that you could prosper enough to take care of your health properly. And if you don't have love for yourself, how are you going to take care of your health in the first place? Even if you had all the money in the world. As a coach, as someone that coaches people, a number of people have more money than they know what to do with, but they can't take care of their health. That means love for your body too, folks, not just love for your mind and your creativity and your money. And lastly, I don't know where to put this one, but trust issues. You know, people have trust issues. And I think it comes from these couple of sayings. I can't. I shouldn't. I have to. So think about your inner dialogue surrounding that. I can't. I should. Or I shouldn't. Or I have to. If you can start to remove those sayings that follow that, that's going to actually start the process of cleaning up and detoxifying this inner dialogue to flip it and reframe it. So here's what I wrote down for mastering your inner dialogue. How can we move forward now? How can we master our inner dialogue? I just mentioned two of them along the way. I'm going to repeat them because it's the first step. You need awareness. You need awareness of what others are saying about themselves and their situation. Because when you hear other people saying it, it can trigger what you say about yourself. And remember, if you believe that you are the average of the five people you associate with the most, there you go. That'll tell you what's going on inside of your thinking about yourself. Then reframing. If you want to master your inner dialogue, reframe it. And because you are a creative human being, you can create the reframing in any way you want, especially if you keep in mind that anything is possible. Just like becoming childlike again, instead of childish and wounded, become childlike, which is creative, imaginative. Anything's possible in a child's mind. So play with that. And of course, meditation, being in stillness and silence is a very important tool to help us see what our inner dialogue is doing. And of course, mastering inner dialogue also always includes gratitude. Gratitude for who you are right now, as you are, and for what you have. And cultivating your true heart. That was a lot to do with my previous episode. I mentioned a lot, cultivating your true heart, which means doing good deeds for the sake of doing them because you can. You don't need anything in return to do something good for yourself or for others. I have another article that Deepak Chopra has his top six things for you to consider to master your inner dialogue. Spend time in stillness and silence. Practice gratitude. Well, here's an obvious one. Avoid negativity. Affirmations, right? How to reframe the negative inner dialogue and switch it, do a switching and reframe it to a positive state. He says here in the fifth one, practice impeccable speech and behaviors. Why? Because your inner dialogue becomes what you say to others. And it becomes your actions. Your inner dialogue becomes your words and it becomes your actions. That's why I want to remind you of Miguel Ruiz's four agreements. Be impeccable with your words. Watch what you say. That's also why he says in another one of his agreements, don't take what other people are saying personally. Why? Because the worse a person is, the more he or she is going to see the worse in you. Always acknowledge yourself for doing the best you can, the best you know how, and certainly affirm that you can do better. You know how to learn how to do better every little day. Tiny, tiny improvements every day. And then Deepak Chopra says here, remember your true nature. If you have forgotten what your true nature is, spend more time in nature alone. Spend more time in nature alone. Comes back to the first one, spend time in stillness and silence, or what I shared is also is meditation. The damage of your inner dialogue is a silent killer of especially human potential because it creates those self-limiting beliefs. And you can actually change them. That's the beauty of the mind. I guess we're cursed with it and we're blessed with it. The mind is capable of being changed. You can change it. Should we play something else on that, on those sound effects here? What are they? Let's see. Let's get it. What do we want to put in here? I have how about applause? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That applause was for all of us, not only for me completing this or finishing this 14th episode, but for you spending some time with me. I'm applauding you for showing up, making a contribution to helping the world eradicate chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. I mean, really, why did we do this? 90 to 95% of all cancers and chronic degenerative diseases can be avoided. So thank you for making your contribution by spending some time with me and sharing this podcast with others if you feel they would be interested in it or could benefit from it. And of course, if you want to leave me a comment, that'd be great. If you want to reach out to me, you can just shoot me an email. I will leave a link in the description box that you can directly contact me. And if you have any suggestions for a future podcast that would be of interest to you, certainly let me know and I will meditate on that topic and see if I have something to share about it. This is Dan Hegerich. This is Do the Cure podcast. I appreciate everything you guys are bringing to the table in your life. Let's make it a beautiful one. Let's start with the inner dialogue. Power and grace to you.